What a guest we've got on this week. A man that started his career in Celtic's youth team and went on to be one of the heroes of the Iceland Euro 2016 squad. But we're going to be here to look back on his time at Celtic. I'm very delighted to say we're joined by Teddy Bjarnason. Teddy, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us.
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, honestly, really, really great to have you on. It was a while ago you were at Celtic, so hopefully you've got some memories of your time here at the club. But before we get into that, just tell everybody what you're doing now and how life is for you.
Yeah, so I moved back to Iceland a couple of years back. Got a wife and two kids, a six-year-old boy and a one-year-old girl. So, and I'm back playing for my childhood club. So that's basically my life at the moment. Enjoying life back in Iceland. It's good to be back home in my childhood club after a long time abroad. So I'm delighted to be back.
All grown up from those early days at Celtic.
Yeah, I would hope so. But I have only fond memories of my time in Glasgow. It was a crazy time, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's get into it then. Let's go back to the start. So you signed for Celtic, I think it was a December 2004, January 2005. Why don't you tell everybody a bit of a history about how you signed for the club, how the move all happened, and when it was you came to Celtic, for those that don't know?
So it actually started, I was on trial at Stoke City, and there was a scout from Celtic, that was back in 2003, that actually wanted to get me over to Celtic. So he saw me in a game with Stoke, wanted to get me over. So I went over to Celtic for 1 or 2 weeks, I can't remember. And that time they really wanted me, but I wasn't really ready to move abroad, only 16 years old. So I came back home to KR, played here for one season. And then after that season, Celtic were keen again. And at that time, I had my mate, Kjartan Finnbogason, Icelandic player who played with me in KR. They were also interested in him. So we decided to come together. That made the decision a little bit easier. And so
Was that a trial that you came on originally as well?
Yeah, it was a trial originally. Played with under 19s a couple of games. I think it was played against Chelsea and some other team from England. Did really well, and I loved everything about it. I loved the guys. The British banter was amazing. So I would have jumped on it straight away, but I was a little bit homesick. I had been living in Norway for a year with my father, and I wanted to go home to Iceland for a bit before I moved abroad again. And when I got Kjartan with me, it was an easy decision. We could choose from a few clubs. We were in Club Brugge, Feyenoord, Brøndby in Denmark, and a few clubs around Europe, but Celtic was the first choice in the end.
So take us into what it was like then to come over on trial to such a massive football club. I can only imagine it must have been quite a nervy experience, but what was it like when you actually came over? What do you remember?
No, like I said, it was amazing. When you're a 17, 18-year-old footballer, you think you are king of the world. So it's not really nervy, because you think you can beat everybody and you're better than everybody. But it was just an amazing experience seeing all these big players at the training ground. They had just won the European League 2003. So it was huge to come to Celtic at that time. And I just enjoyed everything about it. Especially coming into the under-19s, the reserves, the atmosphere was amazing and was just a fun time and a really good team as well.
Did you have any mix with the first team when you first came over in trial? Do you remember seeing any of them, any of the big players at that time?
Yeah, we actually trained a couple of sessions with the first team on our trial. So we got thrown into the deep end straight away, and we did quite well, obviously well enough to get a deal. So that was a amazing experience. And I actually think that was the reason, the main reason that we directly wanted to sign with Celtic. We got the taste of it with all these big players, and that made the decision easier. So,
who were you going up against then in the first team on your trial? It must have been some pretty good players.
I remember our first session with me and Kat, and we played the 2v2. The couple of the boys were off, and the first team was off, so only the young guys from the team were playing. And it was a 2v2. It was me and Kat, and against Sean Maloney and Ross Wallace. So it was a difficult one, but I don't remember how it ended, but I think we did quite well.
Because you came in as a central midfielder, so in the first team at that time, you would have had the likes of Stylian Petrov, Neil Lennon. I don't know if Paul Lambert would have been at the club at that time as well, but there was massive, massive players. So do you remember going up against any of them in your first week of trial and what that was like?
Yeah, obviously, just the standard was really high, and you had to step it up yourself, because coming from Iceland, it's a big gap in quality and the tempo and everything. So, like I said, it was quite stressful, but like I said, they just welcomed us straight away. It was easy to get into the flow, and it was just a great experience to play against these champions.
You must have some great stories of those first couple of weeks, because it must have been such an eye-opening experience coming to Glasgow, coming to Celtic, this new city in this country.
Yeah. I have a few stories. So my first, I think it was my second training, we went down, we were training at Barrowfield. We drove down to Barrowfield from Celtic Park, and I jumped out of the car. I had this amazing Justin Bieber haircut, you know, the barnet was all the way here. I was extremely happy about it, but I was jogging around warming up, and in the other corner was Chris Sutton, and all I can hear was, Teddy, get a f***ing haircut. And a couple of days later, I shaved it all off and stayed like that for the duration of my stay. I didn't want to do it straight away, but so he thought that he was the reason I did it, but I think he played a big part in that decision.
I think everybody remembers you at your time from Celtic with that complete buzz cut. So that's all down to Chris Sutton.
Yeah. So that was my first experience with him. And that's also what I really loved about the guys and the Scottish people and everything about it was everything is out in the open. It's what you see is what you get. There's no protecting your feelings. Like many places in Scandinavia, it's everybody is very friendly. Everybody is careful about hurting your feelings and everything. But there was just in your face, deal with it or go home. So that I really enjoyed that.
What did Chris Sutton say to you when you came back in with the baldy?
I don't actually remember getting a comment on it, but I'm guessing he was happy. He probably just said it without thinking about it and didn't even notice. But that was that played a big part in the decision.
What about coming into Glasgow as well? Was that a bit of a culture shock at all?
Yeah, I mean, coming from Iceland, you know, you're an innocent boy moving to a big city at 17, and all of a sudden I have a little bit of money and living up by myself with no rules. So it was an experience, I made the most of it, maybe too much, but I don't have any regrets. I had a really great time. I probably should have focused a bit more on the football, but in the end, I had some great memories of my time there.
But I mean, I suppose back in that time, sort of mid-2000s, there maybe was still a bit of a drinking culture in football then, where there's not now. So is that just something that you came in and just thought, I'm going to enjoy this for as much as I can and then see how I get on with the football?
Yeah, basically that was it. I mean, in the reserves, we were normally playing on Tuesday. So we were normally off on a Wednesday, and that was a night out, of course, with the boys on Tuesday. And then we trained Thursday, Friday really hard, and then we were off on the weekend. So Friday, Saturday as well was a night out. So in the end, it was quite a few nights out in town, and probably more than we should have, but like you said, that was just the culture, and it made the team really, like, how do you say, compact? No, you can't say compact. Together. Yeah. So we were all really good mates outside the football as well, always up to something. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I think I only lost one game in the reserves in my 3 years there. So it was a lot of celebration. Good times.
Well, I was going to say, so you obviously you come in on trial, the trial goes well, you get a contract, you then start working with the reserve team. But that reserve team was so dominant during that time in the early 2000s in Scotland, constantly winning the reserve league. So tell us just about some of your memories of going into that reserve team, who some of the characters were, some of the better players were.
So, yeah, and also a lot of the time, a lot of great first team players were playing with us as well when they didn't get a game with the first team. So in the end, it was like, I think we would have done well in the league with a couple of teams we played in the reserves because there was such a strong team. And I remember the under-19s Scotland that year, like 2005, or they went all the way to the finals in the under-19s. And that was like 8 or 9 players starting from our team. So that just shows how strong of a team it was. But characters, a lot. We had obviously Simon Ferry. We had Rocco Quinn. Aidan McGeady was taking his first steps in the first team there. We were quite good mates. We had Darren O'Day, Dermot O'Carroll. Yeah, Jim O'Brien, obviously. Charlie Mulgrew. Scott Cuthbert was there. Yeah, we had a lot of great players that went on to have decent careers as well after the time in the reserves there. So it was quite a strong team.
Yeah, I'll ask you for some of the stories from that dressing room soon, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of names in there that were a lot of big characters. But in terms of the football, what memories come to mind of those early time in the reserve team? Because as I said, the team were so dominant, but also there was a lot of really, really good players in there as well. So tell us about some of the training sessions and what they were like.
Yeah, like I said, the standard was really good and everybody was extremely competitive. So it happened a few times that the trainers ended up fighting because everybody was so competitive, and obviously everybody training for the same goal to get called up to the first team. So that was something you had to get used to, the culture of training like this, because the competition was so hard. And yeah, it was just amazing time for me. It made me a lot better player, toughened me up a little bit. Maybe I was a little bit too soft when I came, but that team hardened me up real quick, and that has actually helped me in my career.
Do you remember any players in that reserve team that when you first came in and you watched them train and then watched them play and you think, wow, this player can go right to the top?
Yeah, like I said, there were a lot of them, actually. Obviously, we had, at that time, Simon Ferry was, I think, a year or two younger than me. Extremely talented, could play one or two touches in the high tempo, good with the ball, great vision. We had a player, Michael McClinchy, that I really like. He was talented. He got a couple of games for the first team as well, I think. And obviously, we had a lot of strong defenders as well. Charlie Mulgrew, Darren O'Day were really talented. And actually, all the goalkeepers, I remember them. The level of our goalkeepers was really high. We had Michael McGovern, who was playing for us. Dave Marshall was playing a lot of games for the reserves at that time. And they went on to have a great career. So all in all, it was just most of the players were a different class, I remember.
And then in terms of some dressing room stories, I imagine with that bunch, you must have some good ones.
Yeah. I remember, I hadn't been there for a long time, but we obviously came from Iceland. The fashion style was a little bit different. So one time I came in wearing Converse shoes And at that time, that hadn't been discovered in our dressing room. So I came in, got undressed, went to training, came back to find my Converse cut up in half. So a lot of stories like that. Or you find your leather jacket in the shower, or a great bunch of it like that. If you were up to par with your style, you'd feel it straight away. So I never found out who did it, but it was a great laugh in the end.
Well, hopefully, you know what we could do? We could stick this clip out and see if anyone in that team owns up to cutting your Converse and see if they can get you a new pair now.
Yeah, please find out. We need to find out. They owe me a pair of shoes.
I mean, I'm actually starting to feel quite bad because, Teddy, because you've come in and you've shaved your head because someone's told you to, and you're coming in, your Converse are getting cut up. Like, did you have any good times here in the dressing room?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this part of the banter. I don't like it to be too friendly or too careful. Just they are who they are, and this toughens you up and makes you actually a stronger person. And it's not like I was innocent all the time. I made some jokes as well on them, so I got them back a few times. So in the end, it was all for laughs.
Yeah, so that time when you're playing in the reserves, it's Gordon Strachan that's the first team manager, and the first team are doing unbelievable. And his first season, he win the league title. And the second season as well, 06-07, again we win the league title, and we're also playing in Europe, in the Champions League, defeating Manchester United, all of those big teams. Do you have any memories? Did you go to those types of games? Were you always going to Celtic Park?
Yeah, I went to all the games at Celtic Park all the time. We sat behind the dugouts or the benches all the time. And I was actually, I traveled with the team to my first Champions League game. I was in the squad against Benfica away. I can't remember the result in that game.
We got beat quite bad.
Okay, it was bad. I didn't make the bench, but I traveled with the first team, and that was my first experience in the Champions League, and that was just amazing. But like I said, we went to all the games, and you became a really big fan of the team as well. I'm still a fan of Celtic. I follow the results still, and I would have liked to play against them before I quit my career, but we'll see. If we make it to Europe next year and I play one more year, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we have played KR before, haven't we? Just unfortunate you weren't there at that time. It's a shame.
Yeah, exactly. I would have loved to be there, but...
Those European nights, can you remember particularly, I mean, the first one that comes to mind when you talk about that campaign is Manchester United and Nakamura's goal, but do you have any memories of just the atmosphere at Celtic Park and just being there to witness some of those big nights?
Oh yeah, the European nights were different level. My first night, I had goosebumps the whole game. The noise was so loud and the atmosphere was so good, and it motivated you to try your best because you wanted to experience that on the pitch. But like you said, with a team like that, it's extremely difficult to break through, and only one in 1,000 makes it. And yeah, like I said, I would have loved to play in one of these games, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and it just shows you, I suppose, when you come into a club like Celtic and the club are playing in the Champions League, you know, you've got a fan base all around the world. I'm sure you would have known about Celtic before signing, but was it moments like that that made you realise just how big the club is and the club were at the time? And maybe even, I think you went on the pre-season trip to Japan, which we're about to embark on as well this summer. So are those kind of moments that were a bit eye-opening to you?
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember how many people were in the stadium when we went to Japan to play. It was not like a showcase game for Nakamura, I think, if I remember correctly. I think it was like 60 or 80,000 in the stands. It was unbelievable. And that, of course, makes you realize how big of a club it is. And yeah, it would have been amazing to have a career at Celtic, but I'm just proud to have 3 years at Celtic and even one first team game. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, so that season 06-07, you're trying to make your way into the first team and go from the reserves into Gordon Strachan's team. So what was Gordon Strachan, the manager, like with you? Everybody seems to have a story about Gordon Strachan. What was he like with you, and how was it trying to make that jump into the first team?
I think he was always testing you if you were a young player. See if you were strong enough, because you need to be strong mentally to play for Celtic. And when you're young, you always feel like he's having a go at you, and why is he picking on me? Why is he doing that? But in the end, he's probably like that to everybody. And yeah, there were some comments he made about me that I didn't like. But looking back now, when you have some experience, you notice that it wasn't mean. It was just his way of like testing you or motivating you. And I wish I had my head, my brain now, playing back then. I would have broke through if I did that. But that's what comes with experience. But I don't have. I only have good memories of him. I remember being pissed off at him a lot of times, but looking back, it actually helped me later on.
At the end of that season in 2007 in May, you then do get your Celtic debut. I mean, it's an amazing opportunity. So many people want to have that opportunity to pull on the Celtic jersey. But talk us through all of your memories of your first team debut for Celtic. Tell us everything about it, what you can remember.
Yeah, so I actually found out I was starting that game a couple of days earlier. Tommy Burns pulled me aside and said, you're going to play on Sunday or Saturday. I was like, oh, unbelievable. I'd been training really well with the first team full time. I was only with the first team for the last 2 or 3 months that season. And I was so excited. Even though they won the league, it was a big thing to get a call up, because he didn't give you a chance for free. You had to earn it. It was the season before also, they had won the league way before the league ended, but he didn't give any of the young guys chance, because you have to earn it. So I was just excited, couldn't wait for the game. And of course, that's your time to prove yourself. And I remember I had quite a good game against Hibs. I hit the crossbar. Would have loved for that one to gone in. So that was a great experience for me. But like I said, I was how I was. I think I found out, and I probably went out partying the day I found out, and then played the game a couple of days later. That's how carefree I was, and unprofessional.
What was Gordon Strachan like with you then before you're going to make your debut? Does he say anything to you? And also, the players in that first team, did anyone have anything to say to you as well in that changing room? Maybe the likes of, you know, some of the big players we had at that time?
Yeah, I think a couple of them were on the bench, and they were just basically telling you to be yourself, play your own game. Don't start trying something new. Just play your own game and do what you do, because that's the reason you're getting a chance. I remember Milenon saying something like that. He was on the bench or in the squad. I can't really remember, but that was mainly what was being said.
Yeah. And then, as you said, your performance, you do hit the crossbar, and you put in a man-of-the-match performance as well. And I think Celtic fans after that game were really excited for the following season to see a lot more of you. Did you think that yourself? Did you think that was going to be the start of a long career at Celtic?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that I had broken that wall that needs to be broken to take that step, to get the chance, and then show that you can actually handle it. And I believe that that was enough to stay a bit longer. And I went on the preseason tour. I played in Switzerland with them. The next season, I went to America and played quite a few minutes. but I actually broke my metatarsal bone a week after we came back from America. And at that time, they signed a couple of midfielders. It was Massimo Donati they signed. And I just moved back in the packing order after that. And I felt like being an impatient 19-year-old, you feel like you want it to happen now. And I asked to leave as soon as they signed the new midfielders. So, and I had to wait 4 months to get to leave.
Yeah.
But I regret that a little bit to be that fast taking that decision. But like I said, when you're 19, 20, you're pretty impatient and you want it to happen straight away.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because you then left in the January of 2008. If it was something that you wish you stayed on a little bit longer, but seemingly that is the case. Still, though, when you look back 3 years at Celtic, I'm sure obviously you would have wished to have played more and contributed more and had a longer time, but are they some really, really happy memories when you do look back now?
Yeah, the only happy memories. Of course, like I said, I would have liked to try it again with a bit more focus on the sports side, but I made some great friends, great memories outside the football. And I think when your career comes to an end, there are very few moments on the field that you remember, but off the field is the memories that you take away mostly. You have, of course, when you win championships or titles, you'll remember that forever and some huge moments. But in the end, it's the friends and the friendship you make in the dressing room that you take with you for the rest of your life. So, and I'm still in some contact on social media, but obviously I'm very bad on social media. I'm not on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere. So I try to keep in touch through some texting or Snapchat or whatever they have.
Yeah.
So that's
brilliant. Yeah. Well, what I want to do, Teddy, just before you leave, I've not got too much longer with you, but is to do some quick fire questions about some of your teammates and get some more stories. So if you've got any more stories, then get them loaded up. But before that, I just wanted to ask you about Euro 2016 with Iceland, which you were very much a part of as your country got to the quarterfinals, I believe, of the tournament, defeating a nation called England as well along the way, I believe. Your memories of that. I mean, you guys just must be absolute national heroes back home now.
Yeah, we were at least, but people are quick to forget. But no, like I said, it was unbelievable moment. I think nobody believed that we could go this far. We were in a group with Portugal, Austria and Hungary. Started off with a draw against Portugal and that gave us a bit of belief. And then a disappointing draw against Hungary where we were leading most of the game, if I don't remember wrongly. And then, yeah, Austria was the biggest game for me personally. Made the final assist in the 2-1 victory. So, and that gave us a game against England a few days later instead of Croatia a couple of days later. So that was an important goal, actually.
Yeah, it definitely was. And yeah, good memories in that last 16 game for yourself and also, I think, for a lot of people back in Scotland as well. But yeah. We'll move on now just to get some quick-fire questions and yeah, any extra little stories you've got, Teddy. But first of all, who would you say was the best player you played alongside at Celtic?
Difficult one, but I think the most gifted player I played with was Nakamura. I didn't play a game with him, but in training, you could see he was different class. So for sure, here Nakamura, the best.
Did he ever give you a little nutmeg or anything like that?
Probably a few times playing squares, so that's nothing you remember.
Yeah. Who was the funniest teammate you had, and it can be first team or reserve team?
I really enjoyed Aidan McGeady and Simon Ferry. I think they were quite funny.
Any good people who were up to pranks? Maybe one of them, or was there somebody else who was always doing some pranks? You've named some of the things that happened to you already.
I remember Michael Gardine. He's playing. I don't remember where he's playing at the moment, but he was really funny as well. Always up to something. Always had a prank up his sleeve, and just a funny guy. And yeah, because it was actually funny. My first day at Celtic, our first day, you're obviously introduced to everybody and taken around. And Tommy Burns was taking me and Kjartan around in the car and showing us the park and training field. So he brought us down to Barrowfield, and he was talking that now you're in a professional environment. And he's like, you have to settle in and be professional and do everything correctly. So we get down to Barrowfield, and he's like, here's our dressing room. He opens up the dressing room, and in there they are just smashing the balls around. I think one guy had another guy bent over in a doggy style position, humping him, try humping him. And then we were like, oh, in for here. But that was just how it was. Every day was a laugh, and it was just a great, great time. For a young boy to come into that, maybe not the most professional, but that's just the way it was.
Who was the toughest player, or like the angriest player you saw at Celtic? Maybe one guy you didn't want to mess with.
The craziest was Gravesen for sure. He was absolutely crazy, total nutcase, but funny guy as well. One of the strangest guys I've played with, actually. But like I said, he had a lot of characters. Alan Thompson could be quite angry as well. Neil Lennon, he could be mean if it wasn't going his way as well. But that was just, as soon as you got out of the pits, it was all forgotten about.
You must have a Tommy Gravesen story. Everybody's got one that played with him.
He had a few comments in training. I just remember one, we were playing a game. 5 against 5 or 6 against 6, and you weren't allowed to lift the ball. And Strachan had said that it cannot go over your knee. The ball cannot be higher than your knee. Then he said, then we just have to quit playing because your knees are touching the ground. And I don't think he played after that comment, but he always had a funny comment or some funny stories. And I enjoyed playing with him, actually. And of course, he was a talented player as well.
Yeah, he was a talented player because we signed him from Real Madrid. But I think so many people that I've spoken to that played alongside him, particularly in the reserves, they all said, like, yeah, he was a madman, but he was also just a brilliant guy and really, really helpful as well a lot of the time.
Yeah. So nice. Unbelievable. You would have never known that he was coming from Real Madrid playing with all these superstars. He was just so down to earth, driving a Honda Civic or just a club car. He was not flashy at all. And it just shows what kind of guy he is. I think he's living in Vegas at the moment. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I actually met him in Vegas when I was 21. I turned 21 and I went to a nightclub, and there he is sitting with his wife. With a table in the corner in a nightclub in Vegas. He hadn't moved at that time, but I got a lot of free drinks that night, so I'm happy.
Well, was he paying for your drinks? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant. That's great. Oh, we all love Tommy Gravesen, and now he's paying for your drinks, you all love him a bit more. Just to finish on then, Teddy, if you look back then in your time at Celtic, just try and sum it all up, just what it all means to you.
It means a lot to me. I got to know a lot of great people, a lot of great coaches, a lot of good players. Got my debut for Celtic, got my debut in the national team because of my time at Celtic. So I'm just very thankful for that decision that I made to come to Celtic. And to have a club like that on your CV is just makes you really proud, and I'm extremely happy to have been there.
Brilliant, Teddy. Well, thank you so much for taking out the time to go back through those memories. Really, really enjoyed hearing it all again. And for maybe for some fans that didn't get a chance to see you play, or younger fans that didn't know too much about you, hopefully they enjoyed listening to that as well. But thank you so much, and all the best with the rest of the season at KR, and hopefully we'll see you over in Glasgow soon at some point.
Yeah, I'll be back for sure soon.